podcast?
Movie, movie, podcast.
Are you getting this?
Before that, to say, hey, everybody, welcome to the Movie, Movie Podcast, episode number 24. Happy 24, everybody.
Woo!
Your Jack host Fowler. Here, Tiggs. And with me, as always, a merry group of troublemakers. First up, we've got the troublemaker with a heart of gold, Peter Smith.
Hey!
Next up, we've got the gold maker with a troubled heart, Russell Stevens. Oh, and last but not least, we have the only person that we know of to have tested positive for steroids and not have lost any of their gold medals, Alex Kovios.
Howdy.
And this week, guys, we're going to be talking about Lincoln and the Silver Linings Playbook, but we're going to start off with Lincoln, so can we get the Russ down for that?
Yes, we can, as soon as I pull it up.
We should really fill this dead air with something.
Yeah, I know, we really should.
I
thought I gave a nice long intro for this.
No, you did, and I'm drunk. I'm ready to go.
Far out.
Lincoln, directed by Spielberg. As the Civil War continues to rage, America's president struggles with continuing carnage on the battlefield. And as he fights with many inside his own cabinet on the decision to emancipate the slaves. So that's the movie.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens.
Yeah, that sums it up.
Yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln.
Yeah, and here's like the little kind of the weird thing about it, and it kind of sways my opinion about the entire film. You see Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, come out of hiding to play a huge part in a Spielberg movie. You think this movie is going to really rely on him, and he's almost sort of a They kind of just check in with him every once in a while, and the movie's really kind of...
You know, it's kind of like Batman in the Nolan Batman movies. It's not really a Batman movie. He's just more of a force in the films.
Yeah, it's mostly like he's that central character that everything is revolving around, but everything that revolves around him is far more interesting.
It's like in The Dark Knight, it's like more Harvey Dent's movie. So like the 13th Amendment is kind of like Harvey Dent.
Wow. How long did you think about this?
Just thought about it.
Nice.
Oh, that's good.
And the guy from Pushing Daisies is the Joker.
Lee Pace?
Yep.
He's got some eyebrows.
He does.
Yeah, so I would say like every 15 minutes they cut to Daniel Day-Lewis and he gives like a great speech and a really kind of great scene involving him. And then the rest of the movie is kind of, you know, this almost madcap sort of historical, tour through what was going on.
With guys like James Spader,
John Hawks,
Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah, they're kind of these like Republican Party operatives that are like trying to sway people for votes, for the 13th Amendment. And those guys, like, the movie is so much fun when it's them.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
Oh, no, as you say, it's just an interesting juxtaposition to, like, the really serious, kind of, like, character-driven stuff when you get Tommy Lee Jones and, Lincoln.
I almost expected to see, like, the three of those guys that were, like, going around, like, secretly getting votes to, like, slide across the floor like Tom Cruise in Risky Business. They were just so fun.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
Lincoln's not at the White House. Time to have a party.
Yeah, because they were awesome. No, but
it's crazy cast in this movie. Just like
It's like Spielberg, Spielberg called in like 1,000 favors because everybody in the world is in this movie. And I didn't know that from the trailer because they just kind of focused on Daniel Day-Lewis and then like a voiceover. But there's just so many actors in this movie, like Jared Harris's Ulysses S. Grant, didn't even realize that as it was on.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones, Hal Holbrook, James Spader, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Like, there's just so many people in this movie.
Oh, and don't forget Sally Field as Mary Todd.
Who did an awesome Mary Todd.
Amazing just like crazy.
Did you hear the rumors that like Spielberg didn't want her
for a while?
And I guess
Who the hell did he want?
I don't know. There was like I was reading something, but apparently also Daniel Day-Lewis and Sally Field would text each other in character. Which I thought was a cute little story.
A cute little anachronism.
Well, Daniel Day-Lewis really doesn't ever break character when he's on something like this.
But what did you think? What did you think of his performance? I mean, is it like obviously there's buzz around it?
Well, it's definitely not as like outwardly powerful as some of his other performances. It's a little more nuanced, and it kind of just fits the film. He never really steals the screen from anyone else.
He almost plays like just everybody's like old grandpa who just like tells stories and stuff like that.
I kind of like his stories.
No, his stories are great, and I love how he tells the stories, and like that could be the entire movie, and I would sit there and like just listen to it, and I would still rave about it. Because he does a great job. He gets into the character perfectly. I mean, I don't know what the hell he was like, but just to sell the performance. And then, like, when he has to get serious, I think that he actually does get very serious. And it's kind of a shame that a lot of, like, the times where he gets serious are just kind of spoiled in the trailer already. And, like, kind of a big part of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, because he really has nothing but those little speeches.
Yeah.
It's big. He could, like, really, it could have just been a voiceover, but they decided to put the camera on Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
I do think it's nice, though, to see him, like, do one of his, like, Oscar bait type roles, but not be like this force of nature like he was in Gangs of New York or There Will Be Blood. This is like it for the star of a movie, like it's the most understated like I think I may have seen him play.
Oh yeah, no, that's definitely true. Yeah,
at least within the last like 15 years.
I mean, it lets you get into everything else that's happening there. I mean, it's a pretty big, like, I mean, I don't remember exactly how long the movie was.
It was 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, they pack a lot in that time.
They do.
And it's not like there's any point, like, I don't think that, you know, this movie should have been longer or anything like that. I think that they end up giving everything it's, you know, just about its due.
Almost. Except maybe Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character.
I don't get his character. Like, that's the only thing that didn't really work for me.
It's almost like a, I mean, I get it that he's like the son that like Lincoln is sort of, I don't know, almost shunning as compared to everything else in his life, and like no matter what, he can't get his respect or whatever, and all he wants to do is go to the army, and all this. Yeah. And I get that it's just trying to show like another side of Lincoln, but it very easily could have just been taken out.
Well, it's interesting because most of the movie really isn't about Lincoln, so it's weird to have this kind of understated and slow family drama go on.
Yeah, but on the other side of that, all the stuff with Sally Field does feel like it kind of totally fits.
Yeah, no, that all felt like it fit to me, but it seemed like, and I don't know, maybe I just read it wrong, that like with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character and him, it was almost like they were trying to show like Lincoln has flaws and like as great as he is as a man of the people, like raising his own son, like is it easy? But I'm like, no, duh, of course.
He's great to one son but not great to another son, and like and I think that's exactly
it's
what
like that's
to do.
Just kind of what that's the world. I don't think I really needed
and
to
I
see
think
that,
that
play
also out. Maybe even having Joseph Gordon-Levitt in that role was kind of distracting because maybe you think that you're gonna get something more from having Joseph Gordon-Levitt in your
considering movie. Like where he is right now, like getting mostly like top billed roles or being major characters and things.
So this is his like most dramatic role since 50-50, and he really didn't have any big scene for himself.
No,
not really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what about Tommy Lee Jones? I thought he was
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, Tommy
Lee Jones. Great.
I couldn't tell if he was acting or not, or if he's just really as much a legend. But he really did rule.
Yeah. Well, let's rate it.
Okay, Russ, what do you think?
You know what? I'm gonna give it 4 white people. because there were a lot of them in this movie.
Yep.
It's true. But similarly to Argo, like for a historical film, like, I was at one point, like, on the edge of my seat hoping that this amendment would go through so that black people could vote. Meanwhile, I'm a black person in the theater. I'm like, oh, my God, I wonder if this is going to happen. I wonder if it's going to happen. Like, of course it happens. I'm sitting in a theater watching it. But, like, I think the movie did such a good job of, like, putting me in the world. It was way more fun than I thought it was going to be. And I think, like, it had that perfect balance of history and fun. And it was just an overall great movie. I did not expect it to be.
Nice. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm actually going to give this 4 Fat James Spaders.
fat James Spader.
Fat James Spader was that he actually, stole the show from me. In this, like, having that kind of madcap part. But I did think Daniel Day-Lewis was really good. I mean, I guess when you kind of think of someone like Lincoln, he did kind of, I feel like he weirdly embodied, like, in my head what that guy would be like. So I think he did a good job of that. I think the movie, the first 10 minutes make you think it's going to be real cheesy, and it's not that movie. It's a lot deeper than that. But I also, I think sometimes, like, the end was real weird and kind of corny. Like, just, like, not even, like, the what happens at the end, just like, kind of, like, the last shot.
Well, like, it's strange that you have to kind of point out flaws in a Spielberg movie being under the category of the direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I think this is, again, like Argo, it made history, it might not be the most accurate story or anything of Lincoln, the most accurate portrayal. Obviously the guy is not like perfect or anything like that. But I think they made it entertaining. So I think, kids again will be watching this in history classes right before spring breaks, for years to come. Again, another good one to go out to the theater, see it with your family, when you were home or anything like that. I thought it was well done.
Nice. Pete,
I'm going to give it a 4 severed limb disposals.
Nice. Oh.
Yeah,
cuz it's more interesting than great or I don't know. It's pretty entertaining and you really didn't expect it at all. It's like, as we already said, like, Daniel Day-Lewis is pretty, like, understated that you haven't seen him in at least a decade. But you're really captivated by his every word. You're really paying attention when he's talking. And it's which is interesting because, some of the movies high energy, but when he talks, you kind of settle down and really just hang on his every word. And I have to say, much like there's a lot of movies that have come out in the last few years, that if I could just watch one part of it over and over again or see a movie that just isolated that, I would. Like, in this, I could watch Congress Meet.
Oh, yes. All the House of Representatives stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, all that was so entertaining. Yeah.
Just like for, like, King's Speech, if I could see a 3-hour movie about speech lessons between Geoffrey Rush and Colin Firth, I would watch that film. So I would watch a 3-hour movie of just the House of Representatives squabbling. It was delightful.
Thanks. Yeah.
Totally.
yeah. Wow, sorry. I'm going to give this 4 bald Tommy Lee Joneses.
Yes.
This movie was a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like a very serious, like, period piece type. And what ended up being was, well, more of a Spielberg film, where it's very funny. And there's a lot of great, just performances throughout the entire movie. Daniel Day-Lewis is great. I could listen to him talk. Like, you say you could watch the House of Representatives. I could just watch him on a screen talking and just, like, telling every single story for hours and hours on end. I love all the House of Representatives stuff. I love Tommy Lee Jones. I love Sally Field in this. I love the probable confusion to maybe a lot of kids who don't know how different, Democrats and Republicans were at one point to how they are nowadays. But it's pretty... It was just a very good movie, a very fun movie to watch. And, yeah, I would highly recommend seeing this movie. So next up, I guess we've got the Silver Linings Playbook. So can we get the Russ down?
Yup. Silver Linings Playbook, directed by David O. Russell. Russell, after a stint in a mental institution, former teacher Pat Solitano moves back in with his parents and tries to reconcile with his ex-wife. Things get more challenging when Pat meets Tiffany, a mysterious girl with problems of her own.
Ooh.
I wonder what those problems are.
Yeah, really.
So I think we all agree that when the trailer first came out, I was really interested because it's a David O. Russell film. It's really just like The Fighter did. It was looking at a family that, you know, is not perfect, but almost like naturally and understandably has its problems. And you would really see them, and you know, really see, like, you know, people like this, bipolar, in a way that you never really have. Some like, kind of with like a sort of a comedic eye, but also very truthful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I thought the original trailers were extremely interesting, and then they started having the TV spots for this movie.
Yes,
in which was just like, look, it's Bradley Cooper from Hangover and Katniss Everdeen falling in love. Go see this movie.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. Like it's amazing how many people I've had to actually say, no, this movie's really great. This isn't the stupid little thing that you're seeing in the TV on TV.
It's not, and it is at the same time. And I mean well, that's like it's absolutely not the way they marketed it. But like this is so much smarter than what they marketed it as. But it's absolutely perfect for like. This is it's a quintessentially good date movie.
And I
get what they were trying to do with the marketing. It just didn't really pay off in the sense of the movie because it's not just a dumb romantic comedy. Like it's a very smart film.
Yeah, and like Robert De Niro isn't just like the old dad who like, you know, gives him a hard time and then gives him a big speech at the end. Like,
yeah.
The way they kind of introduced Robert De Niro is so interesting, and then his character turns into something that you weren't expecting at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And adds so much to the story, and he really, like, kills it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of depth in that performance, and you get to see, like, oh, that's why this guy is the way he is, because of his dad and things like that.
Right.
Or, like, this is a problem that runs in their family type thing. But, no, I thought that this is, like, this movie is surprisingly really, really good, and I ended up really liking it. And I liked all the performances. I'm not usually a fan of Bradley Cooper.
No.
But I really liked him in this.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence is totally fine. I mean, like, I've liked her so far and for the most part. And here she really just she scores a touchdown, if you will, because they are fans of football.
Yeah. I've heard so much that working with David O. Russell is really, really hard. He's like a very difficult director. He's hard on his actors. But so far, like, I haven't seen any film that he's done that I haven't utterly enjoyed. So I think it's kind of worth it because Bradley Cooper, in my eyes up to this point, hadn't really like done anything good. Robert De Niro hasn't acted in a film in like 15, 20 years without giving a shit. And Chris Tucker doesn't make movies that aren't Rush Hours. So to see like those three people in a movie and be really, really entertained by them. Like Chris Tucker's in maybe five scenes, but I loved his character. I loved De Niro. Yeah. I loved Cooper. Like there wasn't any character in this movie I didn't really enjoy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper was always just a less talented but prettier Patrick Wilson.
Yes.
So he's just getting broad roles. But in this one, he really does it. And, you know, as Russ was saying, like, David O. Russell has that, reputation for, you know, putting his actors in a really uncomfortable place and then calling action, like, really kind of feeding off that.
Well, we all seen the YouTube videos of him in Meltdown.
Yeah, well, you know, he gets you riled up and he puts you in this weird place and then he makes you act. And I think it's an interesting take, and sometimes people flip out about it and sometimes people thrive on it. And you know what? Like, granted, you'll watch on YouTube that people get angry, but everyone does better work than you've really seen them do.
Yeah, it's like he's almost like kind of like not like a kind of like a dickhead coach that you don't necessarily like, but I mean, he makes you play well.
Yeah, but this movie I don't think is like it is very, you know, it can be very serious, but it is also kind of lighthearted when it goes through all this like serious stuff. And
oh,
I think
for sure.
That's like really to its benefit that it doesn't just try to like make you, you know, not laugh or like cry at every turn. Like instead, you know, the kind of like the serious moments are spaced out a bit and juxtaposed with some comedy sometimes too. Yeah. So like you actually, you know, they, you know, makes them feel like people and you know,
it's like this movie, it's like a perfect hybrid of what David O. Russell does so well. Like he like his flawed characters of like the fighter or something like that. And then like the family dynamic and comedy of like a Flirting with Disaster, which came out eons ago.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
Exactly. But this sort of plays like a hybrid of the two, like great performances. But it also has that like that real like the depth of like a fighter, but like the lightness and the fun of a Flirting with Disaster.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely a blend of those two.
Especially the part where they box. They punch Tay Leone.
Oh god.
No, that doesn't happen. I'm mixing those two movies.
No, Alex really hit it on the head. Like there's scenes, I mean, it's kind of the movie that, you know, you'll laugh without really realizing you are and kind of feel bad that you are and realize that you're not really supposed to be. And it kind of, you know, it puts you in an interesting place and yes, like we've kind of hinted about it, and it does get a little cheesy towards the end, but it's still very tense.
Yeah.
The ending part that it builds up to, like, me and Tiggs were kind of, like, sitting there squirming in our seats, like, what is this going to be like?
Yeah. You really don't know.
It's like, oh, this could just be the worst thing I've ever seen on screen, and they've just been setting us up and making us, like, kind of enjoy this to just almost be horrified by the results, but...
Yeah, it really doesn't. I don't know.
It was a good tension. It was good to be. You know, it was just that we were just invested with these character stories. We had seen them. You know, we had seen like all the, we had seen, you know, more of their flaws than we usually see of a character on screen. And these characters were, you know, they're you know, bipolar characters, and they're just going all out. Both Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper did really great jobs, and even Robert De Niro, because, you know, with very seriously having like an addiction to kind of gambling and having a what is it,
OCD,
just kind of throughout the whole thing. It's very interesting to see just kind of how everything plays together, and when you get to the end there, you just feel like you're there with him.
Yeah, and you know, it's an interesting, you know, take to profile, you know, these kind of characters that could potentially be completely not likable and hard to relate to.
Yes.
And I think that they do a really good job of like of you know, making you actually root for them as you go through it and not just kind of feel uncomfortable the whole time.
Well, yeah, and I think like so many times, like when a movie comes out to try to like, most movies come out and they try to like tackle mental illness. Tell the quintessential story of it. And this is just kind of like, no, people, there's so many people in the world that are fully functional and you know, have issues. And a lot of that comes from your family. Like most mental issues aren't necessarily hereditary, but they come from like your environment and shit like that. Yeah. That's just what happens. And this is kind of just like a snapshot of a world where there's some people like that.
And it's weird because then afterwards they accuse Damian Lewis of being a terrorist.
Yeah, I mean,
like a Terry Homeland reference.
Yeah, they do a good job. They do a good job with it all because, I mean, it's you know, because there's some like romantic comedy stuff, but this is the one that, you know, in every single romantic comedy, when like the girl finds out the guy lied to her or something, there's no real threat of the girl like killing herself or hurting someone.
Yeah.
She's just going to cry and eat a tub of ice cream.
And then wait for a grand gesture.
Yeah. And that's you don't really have that safety net here.
Well, the funny thing is that this movie actually hits a lot of romantic comedy beats. But because it actually takes the subject matter seriously and plays them as real people, you don't care when it's being saccharine or anything like that because it feels real. It doesn't feel like, you know, someone's racing, you know, just racing through an airport to, you know, stop someone doing all these things. Like, it actually feels like these people are, like, really, you know, doing these things earnestly. But anyways, should we rate this?
What do you guys think?
I think, first, I think we can all agree that the city of Philadelphia is just filled with pieces of shit.
that I'm going to get into that in a minute.
All right. But before that, Pete, why don't you start us off?
All right. You know what? I'm going to give it 4.5 duct tape shoes. Because I really liked it. I mean, it's definitely enjoyable, and because it's exactly the kind of sort of dark, uncomfortable comedy that I like, that is blended together with a romantic comedy, and Russ hit it on the head. Like, if you're gonna take two David O. Russells, it's Flirting with Disaster meets The Fighter, and it's completely. And you know what? I think a lot of people can see and enjoy it and get something different out of it. And I think Robert De Niro puts one of the better performances of his career in on this, especially in the past two decades. And really, he's a surprise character that there's so much depth to that they hint at, and you're almost really supposed to be paying attention to him sometimes to really get more out of his performance and his character. So I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Now I want to hear it, Russ. What do you think?
I'm gonna give this movie 4.5 Eagles because Philadelphia Eagles fans are the worst fucking people on earth. God. Trust me. No, actually, Philadelphians, and I apologize.
Yeah, you forgot Philadelphians.
Yeah, I totally forgot about those. Philadelphians are the absolute worst. They're like what if Boston and New York effed and had a baby that no one cares about? That's Philadelphia.
I would like to take this opportunity to say that the views expressed by Russ.
Nope. They're everyone's.
I agree with Russ.
No, but I mean, this movie does an excellent. It's great, but it does an excellent job of highlighting mental illness in a way that's not preachy, and it's just kind of there. And I think it gives probably people a better insight to like what that's like than most movies that come out. It's funny. It's dramatic. It knows how to balance those two elements really well. The performances across the board are great. I think Jackie Weaver playing the mom had like a tough role because she had to kind of be the straight person to everyone's insanity, but she does a great job of it. I just think this movie is excellent, and it does a really good job of showing what being a sports fan is like. All of the references to DeSean Jackson spiking the ball on the 1 yard line.
Yeah,
I remember that game because I watched it and I didn't remember it until they mentioned it. But I just loved how much of a like kind of movie about Philadelphia it was. Because Philadelphians are just the absolute worst. So if you're from Philadelphia, you can probably identify with this movie a little bit more, but I never want to identify with you. That's all.
Alex?
Okay, well, I have to follow that now. I'm going to give this 4.5 Ernest Hemingways.
Nice.
Oh,
I think that this movie was a surprise to me, how much I really, really enjoyed it. And especially, again, the performances by Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence and Robert De Niro. And I thought that Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper had really great chemistry.
I didn't think they would.
I didn't think they would either, but I think you especially see it in, like, there's a scene where they're just, like, at dinner, just, like, when they first meet, just, like, talk about, like, their medications. And just, like, the way they kind of play off each other and, like, laugh and things like that comes off as, like, again, like, they're a little bit more honest than I've seen those two, I feel like, especially Bradley Cooper, in recent years. I would say this is, again, a great movie to go out and see in the theaters, you know, especially like they're saying on a date, because it does hit those romantic comedy beats, but it just does it in such a good way that it can get an old fuddy-duddy like me to really like it.
Nice.
What about you, Tiggs?
I'm going to give this 4 giant wins, because when that happened on screen, I got a fist pound from Pete there when the Giants won in this movie. This movie was really good. It was a lot better than I was expecting it to be, and it was just kind of a great mixture of romantic comedy and serious, just like character piece. All the performances were great, and just so I don't echo what everyone else has already said, I'm just going to say it was really, I think everything has kind of been said about it, and it's really been, it was a good week at the movies.
Yeah, I hate that, like, I can't think of anything that, like, stuck out that, like, I really don't like about it.
Yeah,
there isn't really for me.
Pete?
It's got dancing.
It does have dancing.
Yeah, what is the noise it sounds like one of us is just climbing a chain link fence while podcasting?
I haven't figured about that. I thought that was you, actually. So.
Do you still hear it?
No.
No.
I was watching a basketball game on my computer.
No, this is the first podcast that's happened. But bring us home, Tiggs.
You can find us on the web at moviemoviepodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at moviemoviepc. You can email us, tell us what you think of the podcast, and send us in your Fake Movie Friday submissions to moviemoviepodcast@gmail.com. And we are the Priest and the Beekeeper, an improv troupe that has a show the third Thursday of every month at Long Island City's The Creek in the Cave with our good friend Zach Broussard. It's called Pigpile. It's a variety show. We get some improvisers. We get some stand-ups. We have a good time. Anybody know what the date of it is this month?
Nope.
The 20th.
Boom. On top of it. Unlike at the beginning of the show, Russ redeems himself.
I always do.
Thank you guys for being here with me this week. And we'll see you guys next week on the Movie Movie Podcast.
Later.
Lincoln.
Yeah.